if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Sir the Pot Sports, presented by CMG Podcast and Clovercrest Media Group. We're live on StreamYard. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Pride and Riley. Pride and Sander. How are you guys doing?
Chilling.
What's going on?
Doing good, man. I'm so excited on Monday. I can't even talk, right? Because a lot of moves were happening. We got some great fighting over the weekend, and we saw some rule changes along the NFL, but I do want to start in the NBA. Big Ben on the move, baby. LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond find new teams after they both got bought out. One landed them in Brooklyn with the Nets, one with the Lakers on LeBron and the Lakers. So let me start it off with you, Pride. Do you think that these moves that were made acquiring Big Ben by both teams make them both a lock to make the NBA Finals?
I'm not going to say it's definite. There's still multiple factors that still are in play. Obviously, KD still being injured for the Nets, and then for the Lakers, it's LeBron and AD. There's still going to be, like, main issues. Let me start with the Lakers. The main issue for them is going to be AD. They need to bring him back soon just so we can get his legs under him. That's going to be a major concern because especially in the Western Conference, when you get into the finals, you can't just be winging it in the playoffs. You're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to get your stamina, get your cardio, fit yourself in the playoffs. In the East, you might be able to do that for the first round, but in the West, when you're looking at 1-6 being legit threats and then 7-8 you still can't sneeze at, it's going to be very difficult for them. LeBron's going to be out for at least another 2 weeks, and there's still no timetable on AD. They did get Andre Drummond, and like I saw this picture where they were like, oh, it's going to be Lakers versus the Nets. That's assuming everyone's healthy, and a lot of key people are not healthy. And then if you go over to the Brooklyn side, yeah, they got Blake, and they did get LaMarcus Aldridge, which for them, LaMarcus Aldridge definitely was very key for them. Now here's going to be the little iffy part. How are you going to weave LaMarcus into the offense? Because remember, last time DeAndre Jordan had to get benched, he threw a fit so bad that to shut him up, they put him back in the starting lineup. Then when they realized, okay, look, we can't play this game with you, they pulled him back, and then they put Jared Allen back in. So it's just over there in Brooklyn, it's way too much. Especially when KD comes back, someone's going to be mad. Remember, yeah, they only played 7 games. But in those 7 games, Kyrie was crying almost every other day. It was always about something. I'm not getting enough shots. I'm not being used right. He had more excuses than Paul George did last year when he said Doc was using him as a 3-point shooter. It's just ridiculous. Like all he's doing right now is coming up with excuses. And it's going to get worse because when KD comes back, he doesn't rely on athleticism. He's got a beautiful stroke. And he's going to get his touches. But here's the problem. When he gets those touches, other people are going to have to sacrifice touches. Now, LaMarcus Aldridge has made it known, bro, wherever I go, I'm getting my touches. I'm getting my burn. He's like, look, I'm not Blazers, LaMarcus, but I know for a fact I could give you something. So they're going to have to use him, and especially considering that their big man was arguably one of their biggest weak links. So to get LaMarcus Aldridge and then have him come off the bench, it's going to be kind of – in essence, stupid. You shouldn't do that, especially. It'll be kind of dumb to do that. So I'm not going to say it's a definite because both sides still have a lot of question marks. There's still a lot of factors that need to be played. It's going to be tricky. It really is. I'm personally, if everything was like health wise, 100%, everything was straight, I would say yes. But again, that's the problem because remember, we still don't know anything about AD, and the same thing with KD. Because imagine, it's been a while since he played. You're not going to be able to step on the court and all of a sudden be stroking it from deep like nothing. For as great as KD is, he still needs to get some burn and some time. Because remember, when in his first 3 weeks, he did have some great games, but there were some struggling games. But everyone knew he was going to have those games because they're like, you know, he's coming back from an injury. He's going to take him some time. Then ever since then, he's been phenomenal. Then he got. Then he basically went out again. It's gonna be tricky. So I'm not gonna say I. Based on everything, there's no way I can say that it's straight up a lock. If they're not healthy. Now, if they're healthy, definitely. But as right now, I can't say it's a lock.
Well, you make a lot of great points, Pride, and you know, you nailed it on the head for the Nets, especially with KD. But as pertains to the question, is it a lock for both teams after these moves have been made? I'm gonna go on a limb and say yes, it is. I talked about the Nets coming out of the East before Griffin even joined the team. And getting Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge is really only solidifying their ticket. The way they're playing right now, especially constructed, you know, James Harden is playing lights out. I know you said Kyrie has been, you know, crying about, you know, not having enough touches when they were all together. And, you know, for that game span that they were playing, he wasn't happy. But I feel like right now, Kyrie, he's playing well above off the ball. He sees that he doesn't need to be handling the ball, because playing with a guy like James Harden, I don't think Kyrie's ever played with a guy like James Harden. It's just facts. And to have a dude like Kevin Durant, who doesn't rely on physical strength, like you said, who just relies on a stroke, I don't see Kevin Durant needing much time to get in shape. He's already a guy who's in shape most of the time. He's a skinny player. But, you know, the way he plays, Pride, I see how Kevin Durant takes longer than the playoff time to get hot and propel his Nets to the NBA Finals with the way they're playing right now. LaMarcus Aldridge, he's not the LaMarcus Aldridge of before. Even with the Spurs, he wasn't that great, but he was still a guy that can give you productive minutes in the 20 minutes that he played. You know, I think he's learned to stretch the floor a little bit playing top. He's not a three-point shooter by no stretch of the imagination. But, you know, he's the type of guy that can give you the pick and pop that James Harden likes to play with, the pick and roll. Kyrie plays off the ball. When he sets screens for Kyrie and he pops off to the right or to the left, he can get that shot, and James Harden's going to give him that ball. And, you know, I think right now, the way the Nets are constructed, it's a sure bet, because I don't see no one in the East giving them problems now. It's just – I don't see it. I really don't. I can't depend on Embiid anymore, because he's let me down time and time again. I was rooting for him this season, and he just keeps on letting me down. I'm off of it. I can't depend on Embiid and Philadelphia to knock off the Brooklyn Nets, even though they probably have the best shot in the entire East. Because Milwaukee, although they have Giannis, they didn't make any moves in the trade deadline strong enough for me to propel them into up in the upper echelon of the East. Now for the West, for the Lakers, adding a guy like Andre Drummond, who's on his best nights, going to give you 20-20. You know, when I think it's going to accelerate the process of AD coming back, because now they won't have so much pressure on AD being there by himself. Now he'll have a guy like Andre Drummond who they can ease AD in, you know, slowly. And AD will still get his buckets, because AD is no scrub. We know that fact. He's top five player in the league when healthy. But I think having Andre Drummond relieves the notion of, okay, AD's out there. It's so much pressure on AD. So I think, as presently constructed, the real question is health. You're right. But they made the moves to make sure that come playoff time, we already know LeBron James is in that chamber, like in Dragon Ball Z, just getting ready for the playoffs. Once the playoffs come, I have no doubt that we're not going to have any questions of LeBron. AD may, but because they added a guy like Andre Drummond to relieve the stress of AD, I'm not worried about it. I believe that the Lakers, come playoff time, if healthy, sure they're going to run through the West, for sure. And it's a lock. I don't know how you can say it's not a lock, the moves that they made, because this is going based off come playoff time, will they be ready? And I for sure have thought in my mind that these two teams are getting ready for playoff time, for sure. And playoff time, they're going to run through the playoffs. Watch. We're going to see for sure Brooklyn and the Los Angeles Lakers NBA Finals. You can bet any money on it.
You guys definitely said a lot. I made a great point, guys. You know, I feel like obviously health is going to be the major key, considering that both these teams do, in fact, have major injuries. But I'll start with Brooklyn. You know, I found it a little funny that you said that Kyrie's never played with a guy like Harden. He played with LeBron. So he definitely knows what it is to play with a top-tier player. And on top of that, he's played a little bit with KD now. That's another top guy player that's, I would say, is also better than Harden. So Kyrie is no stranger when it comes to playing with star power. And what his problem has always been was being the guy to be the one to fit in. Because we saw when he went to Boston and had the two upcoming guys in Jaylen and Jason Tatum, he struggled. You know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't – I don't want to say he's like an oddball, but he definitely feels like he has a harder time adjusting with a star-packed cast of players. And now you add a guy like Blake, and then you add a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge. Both guys are accomplished and have names. It makes me wonder where Kyrie and his ego, how that's going to mess with the chemistry. And honestly, I'm not jealous of being Steve Nash right now, because now this man got all these star-studded names that all in their rights are going to want their minutes to shine, and he has to manage these guys. And, you know, I hear what you say about how you feel like Brooklyn solved their answer, the big guy, but I don't consider none of those guys big guys. You know, they're fours at best. And honestly, they're both past their prime. So you said that Giannis might not be a problem. I think Giannis will be a gigantic problem. You think LaMarcus Aldridge is going to stop Giannis? I mean, granted, he'll have some help. That, you know, we already know that building the wall in front of Giannis is the way, and we'll just have to see if he's taking that next step in his development to see how much better he's going to get as a player. If not, I think we can say he's a two-time MVP for nothing, give that award to somebody else. But nonetheless, when it comes to the East, though, I agree, Sander. Like, the move might just maybe solidify their ticket there, but I'm more excited if I'm the Lakers, though, because the Lakers basically just got in Andre Drummond what they had in JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard in one guy. And we saw how successful they were last year when they had a guy like that play alongside Anthony Davis, who's more comfortable as the four. He always says, I don't like playing the five. I'd rather play the four. I'll play the five, but I'd rather be the four. Now you got an old school fashion center in Drummond. Shout out to UConn, right? Coming in and, you know, filling in the shoes of, you know, in LA, it's the big men get a lot of shine. You know what I mean? Like, being a big man around the league is different when you're in a Laker than when you are anywhere else. Because, I mean, you got Kareem, Will. You got Shaq, you got Will. Now you got young AD that won a title. You know what I mean? So, like, there definitely comes a prestige with that. And Andre Drummond, I think he played his cards right, because he does want a contract coming up. And if you win a championship in L.A. with LeBron, what do we know about LeBron, guys? The LeBron dude gets you paid. You know what I mean? So, you know, with that being said, Pride, you know, I agree it could be health, but both teams look like in top gear. They're just bound to meet each other in the finals.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're not in top gear. And they're like – this isn't a game where you can just wing it and go, oh yeah, we'll just coast to a championship. Unless you're playing a team that's straight up garbage, you can't coast. Especially if you're talking about, like, let's just say the top 18, whatever, the top 18, you're not gonna be able to coast regardless. You can't. If you're depending on somebody to come back and just be the normal person that they used to be, that's dumb. And this whole notion that Blake is past his prime. I'm one of the people who genuinely believe this. He mailed it in when he was in Detroit. He didn't want to play in Detroit, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to play over there either. I'm not mad at him for not wanting to play. I feel like he mailed it in. I feel like, because they were like, oh yeah, he hasn't had a dunk. But have you actually sat down and watched a Pistons game? Blake looks like he doesn't even want to be there. He looked like he'd rather retire.
It's like being a Detroit Lion. Like, it takes your soul.
Yeah, he don't want to be there. So everyone's like, oh my God, Blake was washed. I'm like, bro, he wasn't washed. Homeboy just didn't care. Like, he literally was just like, look, man, I'm just here till my contract runs out. Then after that, don't talk to me. Don't bother me. When it comes to the extension, I'm telling you this shit right now. If y'all talk to me about an extension, I'm suing y'all for defamation. So don't come to me with this notion about, oh yeah, we want you to be here long term. Because he wasn't staying there long term. You know what I mean? And LaMarcus Aldridge, look, man, I get it. JJ, you're saying that, oh yeah, that's not the prime. Is he better than DeAndre Jordan? That's all you need. He's better right now than DeAndre Jordan, period. No disrespect. Well, yeah. 110% disrespect to DeAndre Jordan. I don't know what happened. He grew up for, like, the longer his dreads got, the shorter his skill got. I don't know what's going on with that man. He got to go somewhere. I don't know what's going on with him. But him thinking, oh, yeah, I'm still a Clipper. Nah, dog, you need Clippers, bro. Because maybe if you shave your head, you got that Clipper haircut. Maybe, just maybe, you'll go back to the old you. But I'm not going to say LaMarcus Aldridge is that same guy. But he's definitely, no debate, better than DeAndre right now. And that's what they basically need, somebody better than DeAndre. Like, because DeAndre, no disrespect, but he looks lost out there. He literally looks lost. He don't know what he's doing. Like, he don't know, like, oh, do I jump? Do I rebound? Do pass? You? Ball? Okay. Like, he literally just looks lost. It's almost as if he's never played basketball before. It's wild to me. I'm like, bro, you're a vet. What are you doing? You're out here playing like you don't know what a basketball is. You're like, if I ain't know better, he thought the basketball is a jawbreaker and he's trying to eat it during practice. And you got Steve Nash pulling him aside. No, sit here. Like, he literally looks lost. So definitely, like I said, bro, he's going to be the, without no debate, him and Kyrie are going to be the odd man out. Now, Kyrie's going to be the odd man out for a different reason, not because he's not going to lose playing time, but he's going to lose touches. And again, when he loses touches, he tends to throw fits. Like, for instance, in Cleveland, which he had all the success in the world, he left. It wasn't fair. I wasn't getting the ball. Meanwhile, he's averaging career highs in shots. But hey, I'm not that good at math. I'm stupid. I dropped out of high school because I don't know what I'm talking about. So then he goes to Boston, where he's the guy, right? And they give him even more touches, and the dude can't buy a basket. They give him a max contract. Dude can't buy a basket. Make that make sense, bro. My man is so rich, he could buy life twice over, and he still can't buy a shot. Then he goes over to Brooklyn. He goes over to Brooklyn, right? And there's all this talk. Oh, yeah. And I just think it's funny. We kill LeBron for needing help. But then Brooklyn is allowed to make any team they want. And no one says nothing. Exactly. I'm like, look, man, if you want to kill LeBron for the super team thing, go ahead. That's fine. But at least have the same energy. When this dude is – look, man, I've never seen a dude so scared, bro. I've never seen three men so scared of a single man. I've never seen that. I'm calling him old. Whoa, pump the brakes. I'm calling him old.
Old with respect, of course.
That's better. That's better. Because I feel like if I say old, I feel like I'm being rude to the man. But it's just nuts, man. You know. But again, over in Brooklyn, there's a lot of egos, a lot of personalities. I don't know if Steve Nash is the guy to juggle all that. Because, again, this is the first time he's had to do that. And remember, when he was a player, was he the leader? Yes. But he wasn't the leader that was dropping 20, 25 points. The way he played was he gave you the ball and you got your shots. So it's going to be kind of weird for a guy who, yeah, he was the alpha male. But when he played more, and this is going to sound disrespectful, but he played more like a beta male. Where he was like, look, man, go here, and then boom, I'm going to give you the ball. Like, his goal wasn't – he didn't care if he had 20 points. He was looking for 20 assists. That's what he's looking for, and that's what he wanted. So there's a lot of egos that's got to be managed, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. If I'm Brooklyn, if they don't make the finals this year, I'm not tripping. As long as they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and during that course – guys start knowing themselves and they start fitting themselves in the proper roles, and you got less, like, you know, like, a lot of the questions, if you can answer them and get to the Eastern Conference Finals, if I'm a Brooklyn fan, I'm not panicking. I'm not getting tight, because you still got something to build on. And then next year, with dudes knowing their role, and then you can get rid of some guys, which now that they got LaMarcus, DeAndre Jordan is probably going to be out pretty soon. And you got him, and yo, maybe Blake plays decent. You got yourself a solid backup. So, like I said, bro, there's going to be a lot of egos, and it's going to be interesting to see how Steve Nash, first-time coach, can handle all this.
I just have one question.
I think you made a great point about the whole ego thing, Sander. And before I pass it on to you, I just want to make a note on the ego thing before I let you go, Sander. Kyrie, for sure, has the biggest ego in the room, considering he's the third-best player, I think, at best, and on that team. And considering that, he has this thing that when he's gone, teams play better. So I just wonder how that's going to work when he does come back, if this team, in fact, does perform better while he's gone, the sabbatical, Sander.
Okay, I hear you, and that's a great question. And all we got to do is just see, give it some time, and then, you know, come back and let's see how we can reevaluate that. But my question for you, Pride, because as to the question, JJ and I both have it as a lot. You were iffy on it because based on health. Do you have, because of health, who do you have possibly overtaking the Lakers? Taking the Nets and representing.
Well, in the East, again, if with health included and all the drama that's going to possibly become, I'm not sleeping on the Bucks, and I'm definitely not sleeping on Philly. Joel Embiid, listen, man, you could throw Joel Embiid away, okay? Throw him away. If you tell me Dwight ain't having a solid year this year, you out of your mind, period. You're just out of your mind. Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about. If you're not going to say that Dwight is kind of doing his thing, you're crazy. That's just kind of what it comes down to. You can't just fully dismiss them because of one guy. Because on top of that, Seth Curry coming off that bench and Thibault coming off that – Thibault putting him in – you can't – I get it. With him being out, that's fine. And, again, with the Bucks, again, like to JJ's point, they don't have nobody that can stop Giannis, period. And, again, I'm not that big of a Giannis fan. Because people think he's out here like the best player in the league. I'm like, nah, bro. He can't hit a jump shot outside 16 feet. The only problem is within 16 feet, Brooklyn can't stop nobody. Now, maybe with LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake with a couple bodies, it's a possibility that they could be able to stop him. So that's to be known. Now, in terms of the West, I got Denver is looking scary with that big three, bro. Denver's looking scary. And again, I'm talking about how everything is going. If it was full healthy, I got Lakers sweeping. Maybe they lose one game because LeBron decided to sneeze and AB shrugged his shoulders and went home early. Possibility. But fully healthy, I got the Lakers through and through. But as presently constructed, bro, this team, will they probably make the playoffs? Yes. But they're probably going to sneak in at a 7th or an 8th seed.
If fully healthy, do you have the Brooklyn Nets coming out the East?
No, only because Brooklyn has more in terms of egos. Now, I'm going to put it to you this way. If Kyrie was not on that team, it's a lot. And I don't even care about DeAndre because DeAndre can pout. But if you got one of your big three players pouting, it's going to mess up because then you're going to have guys trying to compensate for him. And then you're going to have guys trying to make sure he feels better. So then they're going to try to cave into him. And then remember what happened in Boston. He pouted. They gave him the shots. And he ended up the last game he played for us in the playoff, I think he shot like 6 for 20-something, which is not good at all. But let's say Kyrie says, I don't care if I'm third fiddle. It is what it is. If he comes in with that mentality, then yes, you could say it's a lot. But if you're going to ignore all the problems, that's fine. You can ignore them all you want. But with those problems, you're not making the finals because those are very important problems, especially when it comes to chemistry. If you don't have chemistry, you can ask any team. If you don't have chemistry and you don't have some form of camaraderie, bro, look back at 2011. That Dallas team, I'm telling you, even when they lost, they out here picking each other up. Ain't nobody blame nobody. You don't see Dirk saying, I should have had that shot. You don't see Jason Kidd pointing blame. You don't see Tyson Chandler saying, oh, I did my – you didn't see any of that. Win or lose, they rode together. They didn't care. Same thing with that Pistons team back in, what, 05, if I ain't smoking? Yeah. Where they had – they had no superstar, but they rode it out with each other. They didn't care. They didn't care who missed a shot. They didn't care who made it. They didn't care. They went out and they played. So if Kyrie can basically fit himself in that third, because like JJ said, he's the third best player on that team. If you think he's any better, turn off your TV, go to a cave. You don't deserve your eyesight because that's crazy. There's no way he's better than James. There's no way he's better than Kevin Durant. If he can say, you know what, I'll be the third guy, it is what it is, then you have something. Then you'll be able to. But – in his entire career, Kyrie has never shown you any evidence that he can do that because he left Cleveland. Why? I wanted to be the guy. He went to Boston, and Danny Ainge was like, oh, yeah, we'll make him the guy. Unfortunately, he didn't realize Jason Tatum really looked like he was on the come up, and he could have been a big deal. He didn't like that, so what did he do? He went to Brooklyn. So now you're seeing this thing where when if he's not allowed to be the best guy, he gets mad. And that's like, you can't win with a guy like that. You just, especially when he's supposed to be playing a massive part. So, it, like I said, if he could check his ego at the door, definitely. But again, that's a big if, because he's never showed us any time in his career that he could check his ego.
Yeah, definitely some big ifs and whats for both teams. And hopefully, come playoff time, they could both be healthy, because I think that's the best version of both teams, obviously. And that's what we want for the playoffs. But I want to transition to the UFC, guys, because UFC 260 was over the weekend. And there's a new champion at heavyweight, guys. You know, Francis Ngannou knocked out Stipe Miocic in a very surprising fashion that, you know, also Sean O'Malley early in the night finished off with a nice knockout in the third round. And Tyron Woodley takes another L and tapped to Vicente Luque, guys. So, Sandra, give me your reactions to what you saw UFC 260.
I saw – Oh my God, guys.
Sandra, let me hold you right there. Let me hold you right there, because imagine if the last thing you saw before you knocked out was this. Imagine that. That's like a freaking grizzly bear about to pull your face off.
Yo, bro. The bad thing apart that thing too. He was already out when he was getting that punch. So it's like, oh my God, it's giving me chills, guys. We had an explosion. UFC 260, guys, for real. I'm gonna call it what it is. Pride, you called it, man. Francis Ngannou, man. I said he didn't show me anything in the fights that he had to get the title shot again, and you straight up told me he don't have to. And you goddamn right. He ain't have to, because he put Stipe to sleep. Had him looking like a ballerina. You know what I mean? But nonetheless, wow, man, taking out a GOAT like that. I mean, I'll give him his respect. He's one of the greatest of all time at heavyweight. Give him his dues. Thank you, Stipe, for your run. You gave me incredible fights to see. But it's the Francis Ngannou era right now. And Jesus, dude, we saw Francis we've never seen before, Pride. You talked about it, and he did it. The takedown defense, stuff in the takedown. I was like, oh, and then getting his back and landing blows. I'm like, what is the faces that we're gonna see? Oh my God, I feel bad for the next John Jones. You better come with your A game, because Ngannou will put you to sleep. Francis Ngannou will have you in orbit. If you don't slip left when you're supposed to go right, you're gonna fight. Okay. Congratulations to Francis Ngannou. Shout out to Africa for having another champion in the UFC. You know, that's just mad props having Stipe and Kamaru Usman and Francis. I'm telling you, Francis Ngannou has the potential to be a superstar in sport, because, you know, he has that background, that backstory that he makes so fit. It took him like over 18 years to get from Cameroon all the way to Europe. You know what I'm saying? And that was the story itself. He talks about it on the Joe Rogan podcast. But, you know, Francis Ngannou is set for stardom. I'm excited because now we got John Jones next. And depending on how that goes, we got the Derrick Lewis, maybe possibly a Derrick Lewis part two. You know what I'm saying? And the heavyweight division right now is going to die. I'm very excited. Sean O'Malley, the critics to rest. Oh, he's coming up that injury. Oh, that he uses that. Look at what he put on a show. I feel like the fight could have been stopped a little earlier when he knocked him. I think O'Malley just didn't make the right read and finish him. O'Malley, you need to stop thinking everything's going to be a one-hitter quitter, bro. Start finishing these guys, because the referees, you know, they're not going to really see if you finish them with a one-hitter quitter or not. It's still, you know what I mean, doing. I think Sean O'Malley could have finished the fight a little bit earlier, but nonetheless, put on a show, man. He was just rocking this kid. You know, I thought he was going to put on a better fight. Tyron Woodley, damn, man. He had such a great UFC run, you know, a real quiet one. No one really talked about it, but he defended his title, man. He had a solid run. He beat some really good top guys. It's just sometimes in the UFC, JJ Pride, sometimes UFC Pride, we've seen it before. We've seen guys where they have these runs. They have this stretch where athleticism is no longer there because of their age. So they lose a step. And, you know, a guy like Tyron Woodley, who's a freak athlete when he was in his life, He's now what, 39? This is like what, I think third straight, maybe fourth straight loss. I think, you know, it's time he start thinking of, you know, what does he want to do with the rest of his career? Because I don't want to keep on the guy taking L's like that. Vicente Luca hit him with a punch that had him wobbling, you know what I'm saying? Like, had him stumbling. JJ, you said it, the dude was hanging on to the ball. It was just crazy, you know? So it was a great UFC card, nonetheless. I'm excited for where the UFC is going right now in the direction. I'm excited for John Jones and Francis. Sean O'Malley maybe deserves a rematch with Chito. Chito coming off that loss, he has fought since losing the title fight. You know, give him another shot at Chito. And as far as Vicente Luque, as far as beating Foley, give Vicente Luque another top 10 guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited. And also, the UFC, they announced Conor McGregor and Poirier 3. So that's maybe, I think, April, I believe. So I'm excited for that. UFC is really, really exciting.
Yeah, so I saw the whole card. I enjoyed it. Solid card, top to bottom. My two favorite fights, obviously, it was Luque and Woodley, and obviously the main event. Man, this Luque is something special, bro. I mean, first of all, he got hit. Let's not forget the fact this dude was starched. He got hit, kept his balance, and most importantly, his composure. There's very few fighters who get hit. And yes, Jace, I was about to bring that up. He got hit. He stuck with it. And I thought it was going to be a TKO. And then somehow when Woodley, like, fell back to the cage, he ended up getting him, brought him down to a beautiful darce choke. He had him pinned up against the cage. He couldn't move. It was absolutely beautiful. He then ended up calling out Nate Diaz, which I loved. I didn't like how he called him out because he was trying to be nice. Like, you know, say you'll slap him or something. Like, you know, talk to him, say something. But not right.
I think if you want to talk shit, talk shit.
Exactly. You know what I mean? But no, that definitely is a good thing. Like a good fight. I definitely do want to see that. Now, Francis and Stipe. So first and foremost, I just want to say this. Stipe, you're a phenomenal champ. Get well soon and do me a favor. Please don't come back. No disrespect to him whatsoever. But the man is getting older. And let's say this John Jones fight happens with Francis, which I'm going to touch on that in a minute. And then let's say Stipe loses to John. Is Stipe beating John? No. So what's the point of you coming back? There's no point in you coming back. You had a great run, Stipe. All the respect in the world. But now you need to pull a DC, look in the mirror, and have some self-awareness and understand and realize, I can't do it no more. There's no shame in that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Just ride off into the sunset. Go be a firefighter again, you know, because you're a full-time firefighter. Yeah, stick to that. You're a great dude. You know, just ride off to the sunset. Move on. Now, on to the John Jones thing. I do want that John Jones fight. Now, last show I said something, and people have asked me if it was a joke. I'm serious. Whoever wins between Francis Ngannou and John Jones needs to fight Amanda. I'm not kidding anymore. I'm telling you, Amanda's the GOAT. I need Amanda to put a grown man to sleep. So me, I can go. That's the one fight I will see. I will literally mortgage everything I own to go to see that fight. Swear to God. And the crazy part is, the more I say it, the more I genuinely believe it. So I feel like I'm going nuts. But I do not think John Jones is next in line. And the post-conference, in the post-fight press conference, Dana said something that he was half joking, but he meant it too. And he said, if I'm John, after I saw what Francis did, I'm going back to 85. And I don't blame him for saying that, because look, man, commentators were saying it all night. Calm Francis is a scary, scary man. Forget the boogeyman. I'm having nightmares about Calm Francis. That's the dude that I'm really bugging about. Like, I mean, look at
come on, JJ.
His veins got veins. Look at this. His veins have – people, look at this. His muscles got muscles. His veins have veins. And somehow he smiles after the fight. Like let this again. Imagine this animal and, like – on top of you. You say you're not mad at fighting a dude. Heavy as wild, but Amanda's even wilder. I'm telling you, Jason. I'm telling you.
But listen, man, he's a heavyweight Bane.
Afterwards, when Dana said that, John Jones did not take lightly what he said. He was very upset. He was very angry. I kind of get it, but at the same time, let's pump the brakes. If you're shocked by this, you're stupid, and you shouldn't watch MMA anymore. Because this is not the first time Dana White has said, You don't want money? Oh, you're talking about money? You're ducking him. He did the same with Chris Cyborg. He did, and if I'm not mistaken, in the beginning, he did the same thing with Khabib when Khabib didn't want to fight Tony. That's just a few of the names. Dana has done this before. Well, he'll go, oh, you don't want to do business? All right, I'll have my fun. Good luck, for lack of a better term, if you're being a prick to Dana, Dana's not going to be a prick. He going to one-up you. That's just kind of what Dana does. Because Dana wants this fight when all of a sudden John is like, oh, show me the money. Dana's like, show me the money. I don't think John is scared of Francis. I just think he legitimately does want his money. And Dana's just kind of trying to stoke it. So I think right now John Jones is going to take more time so that way both sides can like even out, which I'm kind of upset because, like I said, I was going with Francis because I desperately wanted to see Francis versus John. Like that's to me, in terms of heavyweight, that's the fight you have to make right now. Because think about it. If that's not his first defense and it's his second, a lot of the hype is gonna die down. Like right now, it's at its peak. So you kind of got to capitalize on it. So I do desperately want that fight, but it looks like John is gonna be upset, and then him and Dan are gonna have another argument. Then Dan is gonna call him a disgrace again. Then John already on Twitter was like, release me. I'm tired. And then he deleted it. I'm like, why delete it? So at this point, that means you didn't like make up your mind. You either quit or you come to work. Pick one. Then Dana's gonna go on his thing. He's a disgrace. I hate him. He's the worst person ever. Then he's gonna take a picture with him. Like it's like this weird roller coaster that
relationship.
Yeah, it's toxic, bro. Like I don't know what's more toxic, them or me and my ex. It's nuts, bro. It's like these dudes hate each other, then love each other. It's crazy. So it's definitely gonna be interesting. I'm hoping they move on quick so we can see this fight. But if I'm Dana, just in case, I'm definitely having Derek Lewis in the background, just chilling. Be like, yo, Derek, go hit the mats. Go do something. You know, go get in shape. Go do something. You know, go do something for a minute. Let me hit you up. See if you can't patch it up with John. If you can't, again, another fight that kind of would be interesting is Derek Lewis. Obviously, John is the number one, but with how what Dana said, I mean, that is true. That is true. I mean, I'm not even mad at that at all, Jace. That actually is a smart idea because at the same time, Stipe, even though I want.
Oh. I'll
be back. All right.
Well.
Let's see if we can touch up on Jace's point.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand, you know, giving Francis his revenge, but to be honest, I wouldn't see Stipe versus this John Jones. If you thought John Jones was scary at 185, have you seen John Jones hitting the mat lately? Like he tweeted to Dana White because he reminded Dana White during the press conference having a tweet battle. Dana White talking, meanwhile, John Jones leading in as the commentator is telling Dana White the questions. So John Jones goes, he replies, he goes, I didn't put on all this weight for nothing. So Dana White then goes, well, you know who to call. He knows who to call. It's exciting. Probably makes a really good point. The fight is very exciting right now at its peak because, you know, the hype is at peak right now. And, you know, John Jones, he's waiting. Even though it makes sense to give in it to Derek Lewis because he's the number one contender. John Jones, I think once he vacated the belt, he made it loud and clear. He wanted a shot at the weight title, and he wanted it to be the winner of the Stipe and Francis fight. So, yeah, but go ahead, Pride. I know you were in the middle of saying something. Go ahead, brother. Finish.
Because we're having some technical issues with Pride right now. But, you know, nonetheless, guys, I know that John Jones versus Ngannou, we got to get a wild hop because we don't want another Pacquiao versus Floyd thing that got – laid out too far and they just lost his excitement.
But we won't have that problem. We won't have that problem because you got a Dana White. Does it roll like that? Yeah.
We got a Dana. That's true. So hopefully we get it sooner than later. But I do want to transition to the NFL as we get our guy Pride back. You know, the NFL came out yesterday and told us, hey, you guys are getting an extra week of football. You know, the player association, the league came into agreement to add a 17th game into the league, which, you know, to me, I always liked the idea of a nice even number for the records. Like, now we're going to have teams that are 8-9, which is just weird, you know. Nonetheless, I'm a fan. I love footballs. I love an extra Sunday. So I'll start off you, Pride. What do you think about the new schedule?
I'm not against it. I mean, I'm kind of on the fence on it. I do love football, you know, and that's kind of, for me as a fan, the more I get to see, I'm not going to debate that at all. But I do sort of kind of get the concerns of the players, because their whole thing is injuries. That's kind of what they're all kind of pushing. Yeah. And I get it to an extent, because, again, you're not swimming, okay? We're not just, you know, this isn't table tennis. Like, so whether it's 16 games, you're still going to get hurt regardless. Because remember, Dak Prescott last year, he got injured in the fifth game. Where were these dudes week six talking about, oh, it's too dangerous. Injuries. We can't play no more. Where were they then? You know, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, sure, the injury factor is there. But, again, you're acting like we're going from 16 to 20 weeks. Nah, bro, it's one game. And on top of that, we're not messing with your schedule. We're just cutting off one of the preseason games to put in a regular season. Well, they don't know about the two. They know for a fact it's going to be one, because now they're kind of debating. But let's say it is two, right? Let's say it is two. 18 weeks. If you're a legit team, a legitimate team, more than likely you're going to have everything solved by week 16, to the point where your last few weeks, or even week, like, so in the 16 weeks, week 15, you most of the time, they got their stuff settled. Like 2 years ago, the Ravens, the last game of their season, played zero starters because they had everything under control. If you don't want to get injured, handle your business. That's just my opinion on it. Again, I don't care whether or not we have, because look, I'm not losing a game. So if it ends up just being 16, I'm good, baby. I'm good. Because again, 16, I'm still good with that. But if you're going to sit there as a player, right? Hear this. Football is dangerous. I can't imagine us playing another game. This is absurd. This is unfair to us. Then holla at them on the offseason. And all of a sudden, they're hungry to play. I wish the season was longer. Man, I love football. I'm here just to play. It's like, bro, you got to pick a side and stay there. Pick a lane. Pick a lane. It don't matter what lane you want to pick. That's fine. If you want to love your sport and critique it, that's fine. That's 110% okay. But now a lot of these players almost seem like they're flip-flopping. It's so bizarre. They love the sport, but then, oh, yeah, let's add another game or two. Oh, well, what about injuries? You're still going to be injured, especially if you're a team that's going to go in deep. You're still going to be, like, at risk for injuries anyway. You know what I mean? I guarantee you right now the only guy
who can win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I just don't understand what, like, why they're, like, trying to make this a bigger deal than what it is. And on top of that, the extra games, right? They do understand that those things, right? It's a crazy thing, right? So we live in a world, right, where when you do something, right, when you do something and you put it on, it's like a square thing. It's called the TV, right? When you put it there, right, it generates this magical thing, and it's called money, right? And it's something that these football guys want more of, right? So my thing is, if you're going to be able to get more money, right, and again, this is just me, if you want to buy a big house, right, with a big backyard, you need this green thing called, not kale, money. That's what you need, right? So if the season gets longer, that means you're going to have more money. I don't understand, especially for Alvin, who is a running back, and it is a position who everyone is saying is being devalued. Now there's a way for you to get more value on it, and then you're complaining because I have to play more, and it's kind of like, so then you just don't want money. Am I right or am I wrong? Like, it just doesn't – it's just – look, man, I don't care whether or not it's 16, 18, 17. I don't care. As long as I get 16, I'm good. You feel me? As long as I get my 16 weeks, I can just jam in my arm and inject to shut me up, I'm good. But the players are kind of trying to make it a massive deal. Like, oh, my God, how did we let this happen? And it's like, what? You're upset that it's popular and people want more? That's weird, because these are the same dudes who want to play in the preseason and then don't end up not getting played because the coaches are like, it doesn't matter. This is just the preseason. So now you're going to get games in the preseason, which turns into the regular season that you can actually play. But now you don't want to play them. Again, this whole thing is very confusing. It's like they want their cake and eat it too. And it's like, bro, pick a lane. Either you want stupid money, you know what I mean? Or the game is too hard. Because if the game is too hard, the practice facilities, they have this magical thing, right? It's a rectangle. It's called a door. You open it and you walk out. Go do something else. Go do whatever you want. Because it's that hard. And again, I'm trying not to criticize them. I really try not to. But when it's the same dudes who say, I love football, I'll play it all year round. And then when they try to extend the season, go, oh my God, how did we let this happen? It just, you don't look right. You just don't look right.
Yo, guys, you guys want to hear something funny? You guys want to hear something funny, both of y'all? They signed before this. They signed it on the bargaining agreement. Like everyone said, we all know this. Everybody, all of us knew this. My friend, my mom knew it. My grandmother would have looked up in the internet and saw the article that all the NFL players signed for it, knew it. It's all public knowledge. We all know all the players – the bargaining agreement, they saw, what did it say? Oh, this year we're gonna have 17th game. Okay, I'm gonna sign my name on here. You guys are acting dumb now. Like, come on now. And plus, more than likely, I'm gonna play every game anyways. You know, especially if you're a team that's got good enough and got it in the bag, you know, you could coast it for a game or two. You don't have to worry about playing the entire season. You know, and it's like you guys said, it's only one game. I don't understand what's the big problem. The only for me is my big concern is injury, though, because, you know, football isn't like a lot of other sports, guys. These guys are risking the day that they go out there, even though they get paid millions of dollars, of course, but they are risking their health every time they go out there. So that is my only concern. But, guys, I would feel bad. They didn't know about this. If this was like breaking news out of nowhere, wait a minute, that'd be another game. Dude, we knew about this since last year. We've known about this extra game since last season. So now it's gonna be implemented. Now we got players crying, talking about, oh, this shit sucks. What, dude? If it sucks so bad, go play for the XFL. The XFL and the Canadian League are gonna join forces and make a league. So go ahead, go there if you don't want the 17. It's plain and simple. I would feel more like, damn, man, this is wrong for the players. It's up, you know, dude. You guys knew about it, so I don't feel no bad for you. If you guys would have had better, you know, bargaining, you know, bargaining skills, maybe you would have, you know, maybe not this extra game. But you guys complain about not getting paid enough, adding this game so they can pay you an extra game. And guess what? Because owners are like, I'm not going to give you more money unless I make it more money myself, especially coming off a pandemic year. It took one of the biggest hits in revenue this year because those tickets did not sell. So coming off a year of pandemic where they can generate more revenue, because guess what? Even though states are opening up, they're still not going to open up full capacity every stadium. So they're still going to take another hit. So they add a game. Your pockets get fatter. Our pockets get fatter. You're going to get injured regardless, bro. You're playing football. I call it a blood sport. People laugh and be like, oh, how is it? It's a blood sport to me, man. When you see an ankle getting snapped, when you see collarbones getting broken, risking, it's a blood sport, okay? And these guys are risking it. The millions of dollars, you know, sometimes doesn't end up for these guys' career in playing football, especially when it's cut short. You understand? So I'm not too worried about it. One game, but if it was like four games or something like that, something out of the ordinary, I'd be like, hold on. You guys aren't going to lose players' health. But, dude, it's one game. I knew about it. I don't want to hear this crying and lollygagging. If you don't like it, there's another league in the XFL. Go join them.
Man, it's just the players look weird only because just real. It just
they do
understand they can go back, right? Like it's almost as if they're like, once we do this, it's over. It's like, let's say it's a failure. Let's say for that first game, no one shows up. You do know next year. The league will just shrug their shoulders and go back to where it was. So, but anyway, just real quick before I let you go, JJ. So I just read something here. It said that right now, AB's looking to sign with the Ravens or Seattle. Those are the only two teams he's really looking at, and it's more of like a 1A, 1B type of situation. Like the Ravens slightly have an edge, like very slightly. And their whole thing that they're pitching to him is that you, when you come here, you will be the number one guy. There's no and ifs or buts about it. Yeah, so that's kind of why he's okay with the Ravens. And then in terms of Seattle, they're telling him, look, you won't be you. You might end up being a 1B, but you're still going to get your good amount of catches, and we can actually progress further in terms of, like, winning a trophy. So right now it's 1A, well, 1A being the Ravens, 1B being Seattle. They're still kind of trying to sway him one way or the other, but those are the only – as of right now, those are the only two teams that contended for him. Go ahead, JJ.
Yeah, you know, you guys both make great points, and I kind of just want to wrap up the section with Alvin Kamara saying that it's dumb as hell. Your comment, Alvin Kamara, was dumb as hell because, like Sanders said, you signed a dotted line. You knew you were getting an extra game. It kind of reminds me of the situation when AB was mad that they had that he had to change his helmet when they told him 2 years in advance, "We're gonna change this helmet, guys. So just know, in two seasons, you're gonna have to look for a helmet." Alvin Kamara, you had a year to prepare for an extra week. Don't cry about it, all right? But it's Monday, you know, and on Mondays, we always get to update on our blazing predictions that we made on Friday. And, you know, sometimes we do a good job and sometimes we don't. Pride, how you do?
I did awful. It was embarrassing. So I had Syracuse winning. I was so off. It's embarrassing. I'm surprised I even showed up to the show. When you got guys going 3-for-9, 0-for-3, 4-for-10, 3-for-13. Like, I'm out here saying buddies out here going to get a cool 25. My man barely broke double digits. He had 12. And I'm like, oh yeah. I ain't gonna lie, bro. I stopped watching, bro. I really did. I'm not even gonna lie, because it got to a point where I thought it was kind of close. So I was like, oh yeah, I think I got it. And then they started getting smacked like crazy, bro. Like they got smacked like my kid smacks me when they want lunch. So I was like, yeah, I'm good. So I started focusing more on the fight. So you go ahead, give it to me. I'll accept it.
Go ahead, Sander. How you do?
How I do? Jesus Christ, babe. It's not my fault, all right? The man got into orbit, all right? He got set, and like I said, he said it in the post, posted on Instagram, and, you know, in long, you know, writing, in his long comment, he says that he didn't see the second one coming. He was already in. So, you know, fans, you know, don't feel so bad. He didn't feel the second one because he was already out. Damn, man, you let me down. But like you said, hang him up, man. Hang him up. You had a great run. You'll go down as one of the greatest of all time. Thank you, bro. But I'd rather not see you go through something like that again.
Yeah, Levi, you're on a good note, Stipe. We'll remember you as a great, for sure. You know, I also had a prediction in the NCAA 2 Pride, and I thought Villanova will upset Baylor. And Baylor just kind of cruised through them. It kind of looked like they had the game from the beginning. It didn't feel like a close game at all. And I was trying to root for them, and it just never looked like they could just put it in contention. And unfortunately, they lost and made my prediction wrong. So we all burnt our meals. Then we all deserve a blazing hot L for this week, because that one hurt, man. And I'm Jordan crying face all day.
The only reason I'm not Jordan crying is just because I called the Stipe fight right. That's the only reason I wasn't crying.
Hey, I hear you.
Nonetheless, great show, guys. I love getting together on a Monday. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and our Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. We are a CMG Podcast, Clover Crest Media Group original. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sanders Sanchez. Catch you next time. Damn. Damn.